Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Welcome to Legal Nurse Podcast. This is Pat Iyer, and I have with me today Casey Carpenter, who I met at a National Speakers Association conference earlier this year. Casey is a dynamic presenter who proudly identifies herself as an introverted, shy wallflower who became a business builder. Casey focuses in on helping people improve sales skills with the right training and the right mentor. She founded the Sales Breakthrough Coach for organizations that want to exponentially improve their sales, communication, and leadership skills and close more deals. Casey designed and delivered customized online learning content for the Productive Environment Institute, and she recently led sales and leadership workshops for Believe, Inspire, Grow, Women in Health Management, as well as the Association of Image Consultants International. I was at the National Speakers Association convention when Casey was appointed by the now current president of our speaking association to the board of directors. And she recently joined the Forbes Coaching Council, which is an invitation-only community for leading business coaches. In her spare time, Casey plays Tai Chi, she lifts weights, and she dances. Welcome to the show, Casey.
Oh, thank you, Pat. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, thank you. I'm so pleased that you could be part of this. I recently purchased your book, Casey, and in the beginning of the book, you described yourself as a person who managed your shyness, started speaking up, rocked your sales, became a mentor, and you now speak on sales stages and performance stages nationwide. Tell us what you were like before all that happened.
Well, what I was like before I decided to find my voice, if you will, I was a delightful person if you came up to me and you engaged me. I was very hesitant to go out of my circles. I was afraid to go to places where I did not know the people because I did not know what I would say to them. I didn't have little scripts in my mind that would help me to engage them in conversation. So I felt a bit socially awkward. And the shy part comes in, you know, sometimes people confuse introversion with shyness. Introversion means you have a preference for the way in which you take in energy. You may be more inwardly reflective. Doesn't mean that you don't like people or you don't like to socialize. It just means that your tolerance for doing it might end a lot sooner than someone who really thrives on it. So I was someone who preferred books to socializing. I was an observer. That's a good word for it. I didn't mind being out socially, but I usually would be very quiet and just watch. What was everyone else doing? What were they saying? What were they talking about? I was not an instigator of conversation.
You remind me of a vice president of nursing who hired me in the last job that I had as an employee in 1986. And she would observe me sitting in staff meetings with the upper management of the nursing department. And after a while, she said, you know, Pat, you don't talk enough. You just sit there and listen and watch. I'm really uncomfortable with you just sitting there quietly. And I thought, what is this woman's problem? This is me.
Yes.
Part of the world doesn't understand the quieter, introspective person who sits back. what percentage of the population are in that category?
Well, I think the surprise is recent studies show it can be as many as 50%. So that's half of the American population who are walking around. And to your point, we probably are very misunderstood. You know, unless we have developed the ability to communicate with colleagues, coworkers, and help them understand what we need in order to function well at the workplace. But I would say many of us don't really do that or know how to set expectations. And, you know, I love your story about this, you know, this superior who was not comfortable with you, because it just shows how it may be empowering for us to say, hey, I really am like everyone else. I just need to process information differently. And one of the directors, when I was, it happens to be at the job where I was last an employee as well, she would say to me, think out loud. Because when she would ask me a question, she could see that I was processing internally what I was going to say, because introverts typically do not blurt. We think, and then we respond. So she would say, it's okay. Just say what you're thinking. And that helped me to get a little messy, to be okay with the fact that maybe what I'm saying is not perfect, but it's a way to help other people get to know me and get to know how I think. And I had to view that as a way of letting people in, because prior to that, they weren't really getting any insight as to me because I was so quiet.
Yes, the quietness can make people uncomfortable, as I realized with my vice president of nursing, who was reacting to my personality. I know you've talked about the processing that an introvert does that's different than an extrovert. What are some of the other differences from extroverts?
Yeah, I would say that one of the most important or critical things that I noticed with interacting with someone who was extremely extroverted was that we can get drained by social interactions, and we can get drained quickly. I like to say an introvert's energy is like a pitcher of water. Every morning we wake up and the pitcher is full. And with every subsequent interaction, a little bit of that water from the pitcher gets emptied, so that we can reach a point. It could be midday, it could be the end of the day, but depending on what's going on, depending on how stressful the day is or how many people are kind of pulling at us, that pitcher can empty. And if we don't have quiet time or introspection time to refill that pitcher, we're going to be cranky, we're going to be irritable, we might snap at someone, we're going to not really be able to take in much more. So if you have a job that might be outwardly facing, you're dealing with people on the phone or perhaps building business cases, it's a good idea to build in some time where maybe you just even take 5 minutes and put down the phone and go outside and breathe the air, go for a quick walk and come back in. We absolutely must recharge. So besides the communication aspect, which I mentioned, we also tend to process first and then speak. That might be something that others need to learn about us so that they know what we need in order to function at our optimal wellness, if you were. What else can I share about differences? Oh, my goodness. Winging it and preparation. Introverts typically do not like to be caught off guard. So if we know what we need to communicate in advance, you can find us days before or the night before prepping so that we can anticipate every question or every point that we need to make so that it comes out solidly and fluently. Very often if an introvert is asked a question, quote, out of the blue, we might look startled, or your body language can even constrict because it may be something that we hadn't anticipated. And we're formulating an answer. We want to do our best. We can be a little bit of perfectionists. So that can be a situation where we're not comfortable. We really like to know in advance what's going to happen so that we shine and that we're at our best. And also, we don't want to let anyone else down. So we may carry a tremendous sense of personal responsibility when it comes to performing on the job and communicating effectively. So those are some of the differences that really come to my mind right off the top of my head.
I am smiling to myself, Casey, because I spent about 20 years as an expert witness testifying in nursing malpractice cases and overlapping another 25 years explaining medical records to the jury. For an introvert to be cross-examined on a witness stand or in a deposition conference room is a real challenge because of the unsettling feeling of wanting to be sure that you're doing the best for your client and not having that the fluidity of speech that an extrovert might have, who might take off with an answer and just keep talking. The introvert has to introspect, think about, process that question, knowing that the person who's asking the question is an attorney who already knows where he wants that expert to go. The whole pathway of questioning is often planned in advance. I can attest to the fact that it is possible to master this role as an introvert with a lot of preparation, as you stressed. Not wanting to be caught off guard, not wanting to look foolish, not wanting to know, to have to say, I don't know the answer to that question. So that certainly influences how people perform in the legal arena when they're introverts and extroverts.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we typically do not interrupt. So you talked about that fluidity that extroverts have. Yeah, they have that, but it doesn't mean that they're going to say it the same way twice, so you may find inconsistencies in what they say because they were just really, they were on their feet, just talking from the top of their head. So with introverts, you will find a lot more consistency and detail because, to your point, we are concerned about the product. We are concerned about, well, consistency. And the research and making sure that we, good point, do not look foolish. We want to really appear prepared, capable, and confident.
I'd like to switch the focus a little bit to the role of the introvert in sales. The audience for this program are people who are in their own businesses as legal nurse consultants or perhaps working in a law firm or in an agency, an insurance company, who one way or the other are interacting with attorneys. Could you talk about the sales process and the roles that do involve sales that affect introverts?
Absolutely. It's not a big secret, but we are all in sales. Even if you are not going, you know, making formal sales calls with a bag, as we call it, with your briefcase and selling a tangible product, it doesn't matter because we are all selling our ideas every day, our value. And what I see is important to connecting the dots for your audience, Pat, is that what they're selling is influence. They are looking to convince, perhaps it's an attorney, maybe it's another member of the team, but they're looking to convince someone of their research findings and influence them to their point of view. So I would say, you know, maybe depending upon their experience level, they may be more comfortable with this than not. And I think you hit on a key point earlier. It's probably the research that, you know, the people in your audience are leaning on so that they can make a strong case, so that they can support the attorney in the way that they look to. And again, it's all about being able to influence someone else. That takes confidence. It takes behaving in a consistent manner. So I will bet those in your audience who are introverts are really good at what they do because they want to be rock solid in their presentations, and their research is going to help them to do that. The other thing they would need to work on is just their personal development, to be able to have that fortitude to really state their case and to not fall apart when they are cross-examined, to really be solid in what they know and to be able to state their case with conviction. Does that make sense?
Oh, and it is so on point for what our audience does. I know that you have put together a model called the Sales Effectiveness Triangle. By the way, what is the name of your book in case our listeners are interested in purchasing it?
Yes, thank you. The book is called Introverts in Sales, Turn Your Peaceful Power into a Profitable Selling Machine. And it is available on Amazon. And one of the tenets of the book is indeed what you just referred to. It's the Sales Effectiveness Triangle. And it's something that I realize that no matter what industry you're in, no matter what you're selling, there are three, keystones, if you will. There's a triangle that will help you to be successful no matter what you're selling. And it's comprised of mindset at the base of the triangle, left-hand side, confidence, and then on the right would be systems. And my view is that if you have each of these things working in tandem, you will be successful at sales.
Let's take each of those pieces. What would you suggest a legal nurse consultant who is introverted do to address the mindset part?
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up first, because I do believe that without the mindset piece, you're going to struggle. And one of the big revelations I found out when I was researching and writing this book is that 95% of what we do as human beings, the way we're wired, 95% is influenced by the subconscious mind, meaning that little voice, that chatterbox that we have really running us from the minute our feet hit the floor in the morning to the time we turn our light off at night, that little chatterbox is influencing the way that we behave, the way we think, the way we feel, what we say, what we do. So it can give us either empowering messages about ourselves, like, hey, you really rocked that last call. You were able to really stand for what you know and settle a complicated case. You know, your research was valid and you presented it well. Or it can be, you know what, that really stunk. I don't think you're really good at this. I think you should choose another career. You're not going to make it in this. So this little mind, this messenger, if you will, can be mastered. And that's what I think that many of us don't realize. We're really the master, not the mind. And it's a matter of training and even allowing, you know, being mindful of what you allow into your mind. So we do need to indeed start with mindset. And mindset could be, you know, these are not new things, but they're powerful when you use them. It could be affirmations. It could be helping yourself to become mindful when you're about to go off the rails, which is, oh boy, that didn't go so well. So, all right, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to reach out to a mentor and perhaps get some training and have that mentor help you through that situation? Or are you going to just wallow in it and just go down a slippery slope for the rest of the day about how ineffective you are, or you're not communicating well, or, you know, the attorney maybe didn't do something as well as he or she could because you didn't provide the backup? So we have to get our mind right. I mean, this is an oldie, but it's a goodie. And it was Zig Ziglar who said, you know, you got to get a checkup from the neck up.
Mm-hmm.
What are we thinking, right? Mm-hmm. What are we thinking about? And, you know, for me, the way I use this, I know that it's an election year, and I know I probably could be more educated, but I will not let myself turn on the news and get sucked into the mudslinging and all of the really unfortunate things that are going on in the world because it doesn't help me. I'm a very sensitive person, and I tend to take in and take on what I see and hear. So it's best for me to stay focused on what I can control and to stay focused in my interactions. Who can I help today? What can I do to help move the needle? And for each person listening, it could mean something different. How are he or she going to apply this whole principle of getting the mind right? Some people do yoga, some meditate, some run. I play Tai Chi. Some listen to music. So I would say find that thing, whatever that is, to help ground yourself every single day. After a while, it becomes second nature. I rarely ever say anything to myself like, oh, you big dummy. Oh, that was so stupid. I just don't say these things to myself. I might laugh a little bit when I make a mistake and say, okay, you could have done that one better. All right, sitting here, which is a much more empowering way to handle it than beating yourself up mercilessly. Would you agree with that, Pat?
Oh, yes, Casey, and I know that we could talk for hours just on this component because there's so much that's valuable in terms of maintaining a positive outlook. I know that nurses listening to us have walked onto a nursing unit to start their shift, and everybody around them on the staff is complaining. What did the night shift do? What did the evening shift do? What did the previous 12-hour shift do? And that toxicity and that complaining can seep in and affect the attitude of every nurse who's getting ready to start their shift. So it's a factor that we can't underestimate in terms of how we perform in our lives and in our businesses and in our roles. But let's move on to confidence. Tell me about that piece.
Yes.
And your suggestions for dealing with that, because that also affects all levels of legal nurse consultants in terms of feeling confident in their skills and their ability to influence other people or perform their jobs.
Yes, yes, I completely agree. And confidence is something that we all really need to exude. And we might come about getting it in different ways. What I find helpful is to praise yourself for what you have done right. It's part of the mindset piece, and it's almost like stair steps because these things build upon each other. Confidence is something that you get when you repeat actions and you get better and better and better at them. So what I'm gleaning about the nurses that you mentor, Pat, is that they have been excellent at their profession. They have been really capable, confident in nursing, and now maybe they've launched their own business. So if I were they, what I might fall back on is, hey, I know what I'm doing when it comes to nursing. My recommendations are sound. My analysis is golden. People pay money for my analysis. So maybe what I just need to work on is the business aspect, running a business and attracting customers, the marketing piece. So what I would say in terms of confidence is to focus again on what you do well. Praise yourself for what you did every single evening before you click that light off. What went really well today? Confidence also can come from reflecting upon a task or something that maybe you had to learn. I use an analogy in my book of riding a bike. I was a senior citizen at 11 years old by the time I finally could ride a two-wheeled bike. And I just got so sick of not being able to do it and have kids tease me that I said, doggone it, I'm going to master this thing. And I got on that bike one day, and I would not get off. And no matter what they said, they taunted me. And then after a while, they stopped because I had it. Like, mm-hmm. You can't say that to me. I've got this. So we almost have to be that for ourselves internally, that internal champion that says, no matter what, I'm good at this, and I'm going to get better at this. And if I'm learning, then I'm going to praise myself for what I did learn today. Confidence resonates from within, and it can be developed. And then again, there's always the mentor, right? so we can always reach out to a mentor to help build us up, help us see what we cannot see within ourselves.
Yes, you have to surround yourself with people who support you and encourage you. At one point in my life, I was selling skincare products and went through some really good sales training. And they talked about the term the dream stealer, who will say to you, you know, you can't do this. Why do you think you will be successful as a legal nurse consultant? Just get a job and get a paycheck and don't put yourself out there. And that individual can literally steal the dreams away from somebody who is shaky in the confidence piece of that triangle.
Yes. And to your point, confidence can have its fragile moments. You know, if someone had a rough time perhaps with a cross-examination or, you know, something that a nurse did that just fell flat, that's when confidence can be fragile. And that I would say the most important thing would be to reach out to someone who can help build you back up. You know, when we get good at it, we're good at building ourselves back up. Like I said, I say to myself, okay, that didn't go too well, and I laugh about it, and I say, here's what I'll do next time. This is how I'm going to do it better. When you're new at something, you may need that extra help. So I agree. Reach out. Cultivate those relationships. They're very important to your development, and they really they help keep you balanced.
And then the last piece of your triangle is the systems part. Can you explain that and what concrete things legal nurse consultants can do to address the systems component of your triangle?
Absolutely. And I'm sure that your training also provides, and I know it does because I looked at your site, you do provide some systems for them in their business. But what I found was that when I was in sales and I had systems to fall back on, in other words, systems that help me stay organized on the job, systems for tracking my sales meetings, systems for my results. When I had systems to fall back on, we even had systems for how to approach sales calls and employers, you know, what to say in your meeting. It looked like a checklist. So I found that when I had these things to fall back on, I could really surrender some of that being so nervous. In other words, Pat, I didn't have to make it up every single time. So for the nurses who are working with you, they will be able to rely on time-tested systems that you know work, and all they have to do is really plug into those systems so that they know where they're going with their business. They know what to do. The rest of it would be them bringing their individual personality to the party and their wisdom. But I cannot stress the importance of having systems in your business, because you know what I learned? Systems set you free, which means, oh my goodness, I haven't done a study on what the time aspect of this might be. But imagine if you were trying to run a business and you didn't have a system for marketing and you didn't have a system for follow-up or tracking. How much time would you waste every day, and then compound that by weekly, annually? How much time would you waste in being inefficient? That's not going to work. So a solid, successful business must have systems. And it really, when you have the systems in place, you know where to look for things. If you have an assistant, you know where to direct your assistant. Tell her where to go on the computer. If you don't have that, then you're going to have a really difficult time of things.
You've given us so much to think about, Casey, and I know that we could explore this subject even longer. How can our listeners find out more about you?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. I have an ebook online that is absolutely complimentary that will help you to work selling into your everyday life. And in order to access that ebook, please go to salescall911.com. And the free book is called 3 Simple Steps to Win the Sale When You're Scared of Selling. and be mindful again that sales is something that we all do every single day. I also have a website at caseycarpenter.net. So certainly you can visit either of those if you want to learn more. And I would say definitely please take advantage of that free book.
I so much appreciate your expertise, Casey, and thank you for sharing with our listeners your areas of explaining mindset, confidence, and systems, and the critical differences between introverts and extroverts. For the extroverts who are listening, please understand the other 50% of the population, and for the introverts, you're not alone. The way that you think and the way that you're wired is part of a understandable sets of behaviors that give you strengths and help you in a sales situation.
You're welcome. It was really my pleasure to join you today.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.